All right, for today we are going to follow the theme that many of our studies started here this morning, and that is the theme of spiritual maturity, right? So 1 Corinthians 3 is where you guys were. Anybody feel like you're there, spiritually mature? All right. And that's good, right? We're just saying this morning, I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I'll boast where? But I'll boast in Jesus, right? His death and his resurrection. So how many of you would say, I'm not who I once was? All right. And would you give the credit for that change or transformation to God's work in your life? All right, so really that's what we're talking through this morning, okay? And we'll get to that at the end, but that's the picture today. I'm not who I'm going to be, but I'm not who I once was either. So when I can look back, I can see all along the way, God's been maturing me. He's been growing me. And he's doing the same thing in your life. And so I hope today this is an encouraging message, maybe a reminder of some ways that we can continue our growth or help God, partner with God in his growing us. But that's the goal here today. Because here's the deal. I want to flourish spiritually. And I want that for you as well. I want you to know the word, and I want you to know the Lord, and just to be passionately after him and loving him and loving other people. And so that's what we're after today. We're going to talk through here out of Hebrews chapter 6, a guide for growth. So if you've got your bulletin, you might follow along there if you'd like to. You don't have to. It's there just for our benefit. But a guide for growth is kind of where we're going to head today. So I want to talk here initially, right? All sorts of articles, books, blogs, websites, even conferences that are dedicated to growth. So that could be like how to grow your garden. Any of you have books at home like that? How to grow a flower garden, when to plant certain flowers, where to plant them, you know, how much water they need, how much sun they need. Same thing with a vegetable garden, all right? There are all sorts of books and blogs and people who've had experience who've written about a guide or who've given us a guide on how to grow a garden. What about growing healthier or stronger? Have you ever attended a conference or read a book, watched a TV show on how to get stronger or how to get healthy? Probably somewhere along the way we've picked up a magazine and go, no, I don't want to give up my ice cream, so next diet, all right? Hey, you got to help me out here because I can't have life without ice cream or whatever your sweet tooth may desire. But there are books and blogs, things of that nature have written how to get us healthy and stronger. There's all sorts of articles out there about how to grow your savings account or how to grow your portfolio, right? And you can pay a lot of money and attend a lot of conference for a guy to tell you, spend less than you make and store it up. That's what it amounts to. But there's all sorts of books out there and people who can tell you how to do it in maybe step-by-step ways or long-term. Obviously, I'm making that oversimplified. But there's what we're trying to say. There are guides out there to help us grow, things of that nature. What about how to grow a family? How to grow your children? You read books like that? Somewhere along the way, how to train your children or how to love your grandchildren, how to reach that child that maybe is away from the Lord. We take opportunity to read things like that because we're looking for guidance. We're looking for some help. So all sorts of guides out there to give us some insight into growth. Here's the deal. It's no different today with our spiritual growth. We've got a guide for growth. So the bottom line of all of those articles, magazines, blogs, websites, conferences, events, all of it, every one of them will tell us this. If you're going to grow, it requires action. There's no such thing as growth if you do nothing. Right? So if you want a beautiful flower garden, what do you have to do? You got to go buy some flowers and figure out where you're going to plant it. You've got to plant it. You've got to weed it. You've got to water it. You've got to fertilize it. You've got to prune it. There's all sorts of things that have to take place for that garden to grow. Same thing with the vegetable garden. So nothing just happens all of a sudden, right? Everything requires action. So your personal spiritual growth, spiritually becoming mature, requires some action on your part and requires action on my part. And what we'll see here ultimately is it requires us to take some action together. So we're going to go to Hebrews 6 here and find a writer giving us some guidance, all right? This is his guide for growth. He's trying to give us some counsel on how we can mature, how we can grow, how we can become more like Christ. So we'll note a few ways how to do that here this morning. Hebrews 6, let's go there. verses 1 through 3. He says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. And this we'll do if God permits. So this chapter is building off the last chapter. We'll hit that here in just a minute. But obviously that word therefore points to something prior. So three things let's note as it relates to our spiritual growth. If we want to grow, if we want to flourish spiritually, there are at least a few things here that are required of us. So one is this. Growing requires us to determine to do what's necessary for our growth. The key word there would be determine. Growing requires us to determine to do what's necessary for our growth. So knowing that growth doesn't just happen, maturity doesn't just happen, it beckons us, calls us to do something on our end, we've got to be determined that we're going to do our part. Otherwise, we can be certain it will never happen. So let's go back. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, or your translation may say perfection. It's the same idea that we're growing in Christ, that we're reaching that fullness of Christ. The key word here, though, in verse 1 is, therefore, let us move beyond. Let us move beyond. It's speaking to growth. It's saying, let's not stay where we are. Let's continue to grow and understand the truth of God's Word, the deeper doctrines of His attributes or of His characteristics. Let's continue to know Him more fully. And so we know foundational truths. We know foundational principles, and we'll hit those in just a minute. That's very important, but we need to press on. See, that's the goal, right? God wants to change you. He wants to change me. He says in Romans that we're going to become more like Christ. That's the goal. Don't conform to the world, but be transformed to this likeness of the Son of God. And so He's trying to grow us, removing what's unnecessary in place, putting what delights Him and what's for our good. And so He's trying to give some guidance here. Not sure who wrote Hebrews. Many say Paul. Whoever wrote it, verse 1 points back to like verse 12, 13, 14 of chapter 5. And what you'll find there is He's kind of giving them a little reprimand because they weren't growing, right? They weren't doing what they should be doing to progress. And so let's go back here to Hebrews 5. He says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need what? You need milk, not solid food. Now, how many of us like milk? I love my milk. Man, a glass of cold skim milk is just beautiful to me. I love it. Right? You may not like it, but that's dessert to me. I can drink a glass of that before bed and be happy. But if all we had was milk all day, would that be good for us? No, it's good when we start, and Peter wrote about this in 2 Peter. When you're a baby, you know, they crave milk. So we need to crave the food also, crave the milk, but we need to progress beyond milk. We need to get to meat, right? So we can't stay on just the foundational principles, just the Bible stories, those first principles. We've got to progress beyond that is what he's trying to urge these early believers to get on board with. So there should have been some noticeable growth within their life. There should have been some things that were visible as far as their spiritual development was concerned. But for them, there wasn't. See, for them, they were moving backwards. So think about when you give a child a bottle, you're trying to move them forward to rice and to cereal and to those little nasty vegetable cans. And ultimately, you want to get them to the point where they're eating solid food, right? That's progressing so you can grow. And everybody, here's the truth of the matter, is either growing or we are dying. We're either getting stronger or weaker. We're moving forward or we are losing ground. We're going backwards. See, a foundational principle means just that. It is a foundation, like what you've got your feet on. This is a foundation. What are you supposed to do on a foundation? You're supposed to build on it. And so let's think for a minute that we were going to construct a building out here in our backyard for some purpose that we felt was necessary. And so we got this plan together, and we dig a hole, and we lay a foundation. And now we're ready to start putting up the support structure all the way around this thing. Right? How odd would it be if we all went out with our hammers and jackhammers and shovels and just started breaking up the foundation? Is that progress? No, we'd say that's a little bit dumb, right? You should be putting structures up at this. You've already got the foundation laid. No, we're building. Yeah, we're just going to tear it up and lay it again. That makes no sense. It's a waste of effort. It's a waste of time. How silly would it be if we pulled up this carpet, removed all these pews, and we're just going to pour another foundation on top of this foundation? Hey, we're pretty good at putting the foundation down, so why not put a third foundation down and a fourth foundation, and we'll just keep building this floor up. The purpose of a foundation is to build on it, right? So what he's saying here is we don't want to just keep on the first principles that there is a God. Yes, absolutely, there is a God, and that you are a sinner. That's absolutely true, and Jesus is a Savior. We do teach that, and we don't forget that. When he says, let's move beyond, he's not saying act like it doesn't exist. He's saying we need to grow beyond that. We need to build onto that foundation. So when we think about growth, we're seeing it requires us on our part to do something. Did this building just raise itself? How many of you were here helping with this building? All right, so several of you have been a part of throwing these walls up. So none of you drove by one day and went, oh, there's the building. Right? Nobody's working, no materials here, and you just show up and there's a building. Wouldn't that be nice? It doesn't work that way. So people have invested time, and they've invested energy, and they've invested effort, and they've invested money. They've been committed to this building on this foundation. And that is what the writer is saying here. You and I have got to be committed, determined to build on these foundational truths rather than just say, I'm saved and that's all I need to know. Move forward. Move beyond. Let us grow. Let us mature in our faith. So to do anything other than that would be moving backwards. It would be taking steps in the wrong direction. So these foundational truths here, some of these that the writer goes on to mention, are things such as growing and developing in the area of repentance, growing in the area of faith in God, growing in this area of an understanding baptism and what it means to have the working of the Spirit in your life, understanding that the resurrection is true and that there is an eternal judgment. Those are all foundational principles, right? Those are all things that we understand at a base level. But let's go on. Let's progress. Let's get to know God on a deeper level. Let's pursue Him more passionately, more deeply, so that we may be further transformed. And we said initially that that word determination in this first point is pretty significant. And what that implies is this: spiritual growth is going to be hard. Right? It doesn't come naturally. It doesn't just happen. If we never read our Bible, if we never take time to allow the Spirit to work in us and grow us, we're never going to grow. So just like I said, you didn't drive by one day and go, there's Peace Church, out of nowhere. We're not going to wake up one day and go, oh, I'm spiritually mature, without ever being determined to invest on our part. It takes much effort. You may remember here 5 or 6 years ago as we were talking through the process of simple, the one thing we said about simple is that it will not be what? All right, it's not going to be simple. Simple doesn't mean easy. Simple doesn't mean easy whatsoever. It means it's focused. It means it's aligned. It means it's fixed. It means we have a determined purpose, and we're going to chase that while not letting anything else crowd out what matters the most. So we're fixed, we're determined, and it requires us here, especially in the area of spiritual growth, to be determined. You ever had a day where it's been hard to pray? Ever had a day where you felt like reading your Bible, it just didn't make sense, and you closed it and you went, I'm done for today. You know, I'm trying, God, and you're not trying on your part. Maybe you didn't say that, but you felt like it. See, if my mind's not already fixed, then I'm going to start a pattern. And that pattern's going to develop into a habit. And that habit's going to begin to shape the person that I am. And so I'm going to become a person who doesn't pray because it's hard to pray, and I'm going to become a person who doesn't study the Word because it's just too hard. Right? We've got to be determined. We've got to have that mindset fixed already that we're going to do our part to persevere in this thing of spiritual growth. You ever feel like you just couldn't learn anymore? We probably wouldn't say it that way, but you ever feel like, I know all I need to know? That sounds like a high school student, right, getting ready to graduate. What else can you teach us? I know everything. You don't know squat, all right? We don't either. We're still growing. We're still learning. We've got a long way to go. But maybe sometimes we feel like there's nothing more I can learn, or I have just really absorbed everything from this text. There's a guy here, his name is Pablo Casals. Pablo was a world-renowned cello player in the early 1900s. Said for that time period, he was the best on the planet. Nobody else like him. And one of the best to ever have played. But when he reached about the age of 95, there was a young reporter that came to interview him about his skill, and Mr. Casals was willing to engage that conversation. And so this young man says, "Mr. Casals, you're 95 years old, and you're the greatest cello player that has ever lived. Why do you still practice 6 hours a day?" 95 years old, he responds by saying, "Because I think I'm still making progress. Because I'm still growing. I'm still learning. I'm still getting better." And so that should be the goal for us each and every day, is just to continue to improve, to continue to learn, to do our part at least, to try to partner with the Lord in His spiritual development of us. Therefore, be determined to grow. Otherwise, it'll never happen. We'll talk about it. We'll listen to messages about it. I'll talk about it. But if we don't invest in it, it'll never happen. We'll stay where we've always stayed. Outwardly and inwardly, we're just going to continue to die. See, what's really important here, we didn't hit this part of the text. When you go on to read Hebrews 6, the writer here is giving this instruction because he understood you're either going to grow in maturity or you're going to grow to a position of apostasy. You're going to grow and understand God more and more, or you're going to get disinterested and you're going to grow further and further away, and you're going to have more and more doubts, and before you know it, you could get to a position where you just renounce these things as true. And it's just as though you have crucified Christ. So this idea of spiritual growth is not anything to toy with. It's something that we must be determined to be about and be determined to do so together. So it requires us to be determined. That's our part, okay? That's my part and your part. Let's look at what God's role here is secondly. Our spiritual development here, growing, requires us to rely on God to supply our growth. It's going to require us to rely on God to supply our growth. You have difficulty relying on anybody else? You ever like to do things yourself? I haven't had this happen to me yet, probably somewhere along the way, if I live long enough I will, where I've been in a hospital and somebody had to care for me, somebody had to feed me, somebody had to make my legs work or make my arms function. And we know many people have been in that situation. That's a hard position to watch, and I'm sure it's a hard position to be in because you want to do everything for yourself. We've got a role to play, but if there's ever any growth, that is always attributable to God. Ever growth, always God. Last week we saw in our Bible studies, right? 1 Corinthians 1, we were talking about unity. And what was the problem with the church? They were quarreling, right? And we're no different today. They weren't like some absurd people who just couldn't get along. They were people. They were believers. And they let something get in the way that shouldn't have gotten in the way at all. Some of them said, "Hey, I think Peter's great. I'm going to follow him." This group said, "Oh, we like Paul. We're going to follow him." And the back said, "But, well, we like Apollos." And this back said, "No, it's all about Jesus." And so they're like one body, but they're just quarreling. There's no unity. And we see that carried on here into chapter 3. Same quarreling conversation here that Paul addressed in chapter 1, at the beginning of that letter. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 through 7. He says, "What after all is who?" What's the name? Apollos. So if you're following Apollos, who's he? He's a nobody. And you're saying he's the one to follow. "Only servants through whom you come to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task." Verse 6, 1 Corinthians 3. "I planted the seed," Paul. "Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is what? Is anything, but only God who makes it grow." So who's the one is everything? God. And you know what I am? You can say it. You need to say it. I am nothing. I am nothing. So if there is ever any evidence of spiritual growth in your life, that's not, "Oh, we thank Peace Church. Woo, we'd never make it without Peace Church." It has nothing to do with that. We praise the Lord, and we thank God for the work that He's doing in our life. Now, we may be the instrument, but we're never the cause. If there's ever growth, always God. All right? If there's ever growth, always God. We appreciate one another. We honor people and things of that nature. but we send it on forward, right? Because that credit belongs to God. He is the one who is the grower. That's why Paul says elsewhere, hey, listen, don't render your body as instruments to unrighteousness to the Romans. You're just the instrument. Lend it to righteousness. Lend it to the Spirit. Let God use you to help other people grow or to understand who God is. So let's go back to Pablo for a minute. Let's think of it this way. Evidently, Pablo could play a pretty mean cello. So after one of his concerts, who deserved the credit? Did they set that cello on a stand out front? And everybody's like, oh, what a great cello. It's beautiful. It's amazing. Play again, cello. No. They would be calling to Pablo. Come on, Pablo, come back. Oh, you're so awesome. The way you play, I've never heard it before. We are just simply tools or instruments in the hand of God. And so though he may use us, people shouldn't applaud us and say, I wouldn't be anything in Jesus if it weren't for you. You wouldn't be anything in Jesus if it weren't for Jesus. It's always, always attributable to God. It has nothing to do with us. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Apart from God, we're nothing. Let's go to verse 3 here. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 3. We're talking about how we need to rely on God to bring this growth. I can't grow myself. How in the world can I grow you? He says in verse 3, and God permitting, we will do so. And God permitting, we will do so. So as God allows this, as God is the one who's bringing the life and the change, this is part of God's will, then we will move beyond these foundational principles and we're going to grow deeper. We're going to move beyond the basics of Jesus hanging on a cross to pay for our sins, and we're going to get into the deeper things of understanding who He is and who we are in Him and what our role and work is here. We're going to work deeply to understand more deeply who the Lord is. So here's the deal. I'm to be a meat eater, not a milk sipper, right? And so all he's really saying is you've got these foundational truths, but there's still some meat on the bone. And so don't just throw it out. It's just like you've taken one bite and you think you know everything. No, just gnaw that bone to death. Draw everything you can from that. Continue to chew and eat because it will help you and it helped me grow. And so we've got to be determined on our end, but here's the other thing as it relates to understanding God's timing. We've got to be patient with God on His end. If God's the grower of me spiritually, then I don't need to get ahead of God. And I don't need to get frustrated because I'm not where I should be. If I'm trying to follow the Lord faithfully, and this is where He has me, then thank the Lord for it. I don't want to stay here. I don't want the flaws that I have, but I appreciate His work, and I know that He's helping me progress. And so I'm not willing to be impatient and just to do the outward things while inwardly I'm rotting away. See, that's the idea there. We'll start taking shortcuts. You ever taken a shortcut that got you in the middle of nowhere? Right? As wives are nudging their husbands. I know how to get there. I don't need a GPS. I've been this way once. I know where I'm going. And you stop and ask for directions an hour later. Right? We like the shortcuts. No, they don't. All right. We like the shortcuts. And all we have to do is just look around and listen. It's everywhere around us. See, we tend to be people who want the results with little commitment. I don't want to give a whole lot, but I want everything in return. How many infomercials have you seen for diet pills? You don't have to do anything. Keep eating whatever you want to eat. Take this pill once or twice a day. Here's the before, and here's the after. And we're all like, oh, after. You know, sign me up. I'll take that free 60-day trial. 60 days is all it takes to shed 60 pounds. Really? We like the shortcuts. What about get rich quick? How many times have you seen those on TV? You read that on an article. Had that little pop-up come up on your computer, right? Man, I made $25,000 last month. I just made phone calls for like 4 hours. Wow, that's awesome. I want that. Or everybody who's creating a website all of a sudden is making millions. How do I make a website that people want to visit? What can I possibly sell? What can I invent that everybody needs? We just want to get rich quick. We want the shortcut because we don't want to work. We don't want to invest. We want the results with little commitment. Same thing with like getting shredded or getting ripped. Anybody would like to be stronger than you are right now? Nobody? Right? They say there's phases in life. So there's that phase where you're when you're young and you're just strong and you can do whatever you want. Then there's that next phase where you're growing, maturing, and you're still kind of strong, but you can't do everything that you once could do, but you still try. Remember that? You probably don't remember those days. I think I've moved beyond those days. There was a period of time where I felt like I could still take anybody in basketball. I don't care who you are. And I have a hard time moving and dribbling right now. It just frustrates me to no end. My mind is sharper than ever. I wish I had the mind now, then. I'd have been an amazing athlete. I was just silly and didn't know a whole lot. And so you get to that point where it's like, I think I can, and you try, but you can't. And then you just kind of get to this point where you're like frustrated because you can't do it anymore. And then you get older, I guess, is what they say, and it's just like, I don't even care anymore. You know, you can jump 10 feet in the air, who cares? You can squat 500, woo! I can get a spoon to my mouth, and I'm happy. Right? I can walk to the mailbox, and I'm fine. I think you get to a point where it's just not as big of a deal, right? Sometimes we want to get stronger. Sometimes that requires us to put the time in. I'd love to be able to squat 500 pounds, bench press about 350. That's nothing. That's one-handed, right? You know, the shirt you can put on, it's the right size, but it's too tight. You know what I mean? All my shirts are the right size, and they're way too big. What's up with that? But we've got to start with where we are. We've got to start with where we are. And so I can't take the shortcut. I can't begin to squat 500. So let's say I walked into a gym and I said, put about 350 on there and I'll start there. I would do about half a squat. You know what half a squat looks like? All the way to the floor. Yeah. And you can lift it and I'll be done. We've got to start with where we are. We've got to be honest about our spiritual growth. So here's the person that I want to be like, and it's Christ, and I'm nowhere near his perfection. So I'm not going to start just a couple steps back. I'm going to be real and be honest. This is where I am. Maybe I can squat 125 pounds right now. If that's where it is, that's where I got to be. But I'm going to work. I'm going to be determined to do my part rather than taking a shortcut trying to get it quickly. All sorts of programs out there. 60 days of insanity, 90 days of P90, and you just get like amazing results like nobody on the planet has ever experienced. Everybody wants the results without much commitment. Maybe you've heard of Philip Yancey. He's written several books. One of his books he's written is called Disappointment with God. And he's talking about how Christians, how we behave sometimes. Here's what he says. He says, sometimes we Christians act like schoolboys who want to look up the answers to their math problems in the back of the book rather than work our way through them. We yearn for the shortcuts. But shortcuts usually lead away from growth, not toward it. Do you have those books? The answer guide was in the back. That's the shortcut, right? All you need, teacher, is the correct answer, and here you have it. But I've learned nothing. So sometimes I want to take the shortcut spiritually, which means I show up at a building, and I sing when I'm supposed to, and I'm kind and polite to people, and I'm trying to mimic what other Christians do, but there's no inward growth, there's no inward change within me. And so everything outwardly is looking well, and yet everything inwardly is just wasting away. Remember, we're either growing closer to Christ or away. Our faith is either becoming mature, it's becoming weak. So Paul, or the writer here rather, says, if God permits, as God works, he will grow us. He will do the work. So how do I progress? I've got to be determined on my part, and I've got to be patient with God on his, knowing that he's faithful to do whatever it is that he's going to do. However he's going to develop me, he's going to do so. I'm just going to be faithful to do my part. And I just want to encourage you here right now, if you belong to him, he's working on you. God is not slack. God is not a shortcut God. Right now, his Spirit is active and moving and working in your life, helping you and helping me become more like Christ. And some days we may see it in big steps, and some days it just may be these little itty-bitty steps. You know, sometimes we look at people and we applaud their ability. And how, so a guy can bench press 500 pounds. He didn't wake up doing that one day. We don't see all the sweat. We don't see all the toil. We don't see all the mornings where he said, I quit. We don't see all the torn muscles. We don't see all the injuries. All we see is the end result. We say, I want that. Well, how do I get that? Well, I've got to be consistent all along the way. All the things that nobody knows about. That's how it needs to be in my life as well as I'm going to develop spiritually. All these little quiet times. Sit down and read here, Corey, and let me speak to you. I don't have time, God. Prod your heart to pray and you go, I just got too much to do today, God. You need to talk with somebody. I don't have time. Go serve, give. I just can't afford that, God. And we're missing all along the ways little opportunities to grow in our faith. We've got to be willing and ready, determined to partner with God and how He's going to develop us. Listen, keep an eye to who God's creating you to be. Remember, we said it up front. I'm not who I'm going to be, but I'm not who I once was either. And so I'm in this path of growth. And my journey has taken me closer to Christ. And all along the way, He's bringing about that change. He's bringing His growth. So just rely on Him. You remember when Jesus promised Peter, or Jesus said to Peter, who do people say that I am? And Peter's response was, well, some say you're a prophet. Some say you are Elijah and John the Baptist. And they have all these different ideas of who you are. Okay, Peter, who do you say I am? And Peter says, you're the Christ, right? The Son of the living God. And Jesus, in reply to him, says, I'm going to change your name or add to it. I'm going to call you here Cephas. You're going to be this rock that I'm going to build my church on. So I'm going to build my church, and what will not happen to the church? All right, the gates of hell will not prevail against this thing. So when Jesus said, I'm going to build my church on this foundation, was he talking about constructing people? Was he talking about constructing people? Yes. He wasn't talking about constructing buildings. It wasn't about putting one on every corner in every U.S. city. Yeah, we've put up buildings. No, when he says the gates of hell will not prevail and I'm going to build my church, he's talking about I'm going to build you. I'm going to mature you. I'm going to change you. And the gates of hell will not prevail against you. It's the church. It's the people. So when I think about being determined on my end, it encourages me because he's determined on his end. He's already given me the promise that the change is coming. You may struggle and you may battle, but what you've got to see is all along the way, this is the plan. Part of growth takes place through testing. Part of growth takes place through difficulty. We talked through that a little bit last week. So maybe God has brought this or allowed it for our good so that we may mature in him, rely on him more, trust his hand, his work, his movement in our life. God is at work in you if you belong to him. We need to be determined on our end to do our part. And then how does this work together? In this text, we're going to see that it does work together. It requires us to work together to help one another grow. Growing requires us to work together to help one another grow. That's number three here this morning. Listen, we've been made to connect with one another. We've been built for relationships. Nobody on the planet has been built for isolation. And though sometimes we may like to sink away and just want to withdraw from the world, that's never for our good. We've been built to be connected. We've been built to be one, all right? We've been built to be that body that we've talked through here recently. So just as true as it is that we connect relationally, we need to connect so that you and I can grow spiritually. I need your support. I need your prayer. I need your insight. I need your truths. I need your journey that's beyond mine, or journey that you just, God's revealed something new to you. I need you to share that with me. And vice versa, you need me to share that with you. And so let's look in the text here. Two times in the first three verses, the writer's given us this understanding that we've got to work together. Verse 1 again, he says, therefore let whom? Let us. So the writer's including himself. He doesn't say, okay, I'm above you, now you need to do X, Y, Z. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. And then in verse 3, the pronoun is, in God permitting, what's the next word? We. God permitting, we will do so. And so we've got us and we've got we. We've got this inclusiveness here where everybody's partnered together for the good of one another. Right? We're talking about spiritually developing. So it's not good for me to stand here and say, hey, listen, as long as you know Jesus, you're okay. That's good enough. If you don't understand your Bible, I'm sorry. Hope you get in. That's not good for me. And that's not good for me. And neither is that good for you. And so we've got to be calling one another, pushing one another. Let's don't settle for these elementary teachings. That's great that we have this foundation, but it's time to erect some buildings. It's time to grow some people. And for that to happen, it requires me and you to partner together as God's working there to help you and I grow. And so I love that he doesn't say, I have all knowledge. Now sit down, children, let me tell you something. I'm the master, you're the teacher. I know everything, you know nothing. And nothing you can say can teach me because I know it all. And so don't tell me anything, just be quiet and listen and you'll become as I am. That's not what the writer says here. Undoubtedly, the writer was way beyond where these people were, right? How would he know to tell them, let's go on to deeper things if he wasn't deeper himself? And so he's calling them, let's go from the foundational principles. Let's move from milk. Let's get some meat. And we're going to do this together. We may not grow at the same pace. We may not grow with the same understanding on all things. But we're going to work together. You're going to help me grow, and I'm going to help you grow. And all these things, once again, would be credited to God. So this is one of the reasons we have Bible studies here. Every Sunday morning, we gather at 9:30. So people can sit around who've been reading God's Word, or maybe people come in who don't know God's Word. And we can teach one another, and we can talk with one another. And what are you learning? Oh, I didn't understand that before. It's a reminder. Oh, thank you for that. And in return, as somebody shares with you what they're learning and how they're growing. And it's just this beautiful partnership of growth. It's one of the great blessings of being united to a church. So that's one of the reasons that we have Bible studies. But is this the only place where that kind of growth can take place? Do we have to wait for Sunday mornings 9:30 for spiritual growth to happen? No, it's not like some supernatural power just shows up in these rooms and it never exists anywhere else. I mean, like I said earlier, it can happen out here weed eating, mowing grass. It can happen in a car ride. It can happen shooting hoops. It can happen in a golf cart. It can happen at your place of work. It can happen over a lunch table. And the reality is not that it can happen. It is to happen everywhere we go. Remember when Moses was instructing people back in the Old Testament there in Deuteronomy, he says, talk to your children when? Whenever you're breathing. So when you wake up, talk to your children about God. When you're eating across the table from them, talk to them about God. And when you walk them to school, you put them on the bus. When you sit home to teach them, whatever you're doing, talk to them about God. And when they come home, or when you finish your work, or it's time for just sit and talk about God. When you go outside and play, or when you're having lunch with that coworker, you just talk to them about God. And when it's time to lay down, before you close your eyes, just talk to them about God. On and on and on. All day, every day is what he's saying, are these moments to teach, these moments to grow. So yes, we partner together here in unity. But just because we don't have it scheduled at 9:30 on a Thursday night doesn't mean you can't hook up 9:30 Thursday night and share what God's doing in your life. And you can grow and I can grow and we can benefit from one another. All the time and always. Whether it's across the fence with a neighbor, whether it's with a church family member or your own family. Growth is to always be part of who we are. Wherever we go, we've been connected for the purpose of spiritual growth. And so this writer here is trying to just give us some clues. Milk's good, but that's just for the foundation. It's time to grow. It's time to build. And I don't know where you're at in this process. Maybe you find yourself still just struggling with the foundation. Struggle with it. Don't quit on it. Right? And let's grow together. We'll help you understand there, and you can help us understand, and we'll build on that. He's talking about the investment that's required on our end. We've got to be determined. He's saying God's going to grow you, but you've got to be patient. Let him work his way, his time, and you trust that his plan is right. And when he moves, grows you, grow. When he prods you to do something, what do? Do it. I'm having a conversation here a couple days ago. A woman who has said, I will never forgive that person. Is that cooperating with God? No. And so all we would do there, if that was a believer, is that we would be hindering our spiritual development. However God commands us in his word, however his spirit prods us throughout our life, we work with that prodding. We work with that word. And the result is we can grow, regardless of how difficult it is. That's why we've got to be determined. Because it's not easy to forgive somebody that's hurt you, is it? It's not easy to give to somebody you know who's just taking. Take, take, take. It's all you do. And all I keep doing is give, give, give. I'm tired of giving because all you do is take. It's not easy just to keep having open hands, love people. It's why we've got to be determined on our part to do our part to grow. You might remember when Paul says, I'm pressing on towards that mark, but I've not reached it yet. The one thing I do, I press on for that. I'm going to leave these things behind in the past, and I'm just going to keep striving after the Lord. We see that it requires determination on our part. It requires us to be patient with God on His part. But it also requires us partnership with one another. So yes, my quiet time is good. But it's not just supposed to be good for me. It's supposed to be good for you. And yes, your time alone with the Lord and the Word is good. And it's a struggle some days. But it's not just supposed to be a struggle for you. It's supposed to be a struggle for me. It's not just good for you. It's supposed to be good for me. And we're supposed to share and work these things together so that we may grow. Basically, everything we've said is this: to mature is the goal. Spiritual development is a requirement. We'll never find in the Scriptures where it's anything other than the command to keep growing, the command to keep pressing on, the command to keep building. And so as we close here today, what I wonder simply is, as you think about your own life, are we developing, are we maturing? Do we have this basic understanding that we're sinners? Do we have this understanding that God is great and that He gave His Son Jesus to be our Savior? See, that first principle said we have this understanding of repentance. Repentance means that I believe there's a God who died for me because I'm a sinner. And so I'm going to repent of my sins, and I have faith in God. And I believe in the work of His Spirit. And I believe that there truly was a resurrection. And I believe just as well that there's an eternal judgment. Foundational principles. Do we have the foundation laid initially? And then are we doing our part to grow? Maybe you're sitting here today and you've just been struggling with God through something. Maybe you don't see growth the way you want to see and you've grown impatient with God. Maybe you've tried to take a shortcut. And so we're doing all the things outwardly, but inwardly, nobody really knows it, but we just feel vacant. We feel like there's a spiritual hole. And nobody knows that about us. It's not supposed to be that way. God doesn't want you to be void of Him. So I want to encourage you to pursue Him if that's the case for you. God's plan all along is that we would grow. And He's given us this guide all along the way. And so I'm just asking today, are you growing? Am I growing? Are we determined to do our part? Are we patient with God on His part? Are we connected with one another, helping one another through this process?